Look on page Gimel. It would be page 5 if there were a page 5 written on it. And it's in the right column, second paragraph.
The Midrash?
Yes, and B'Shem Mori Zakeni. B'Shem Mori Zakeni, in the name of my grandfather, he says, the Rim, Zichrono Livracha. Al Pasuk Acharei Hakoso, on the Pasuk that says these are the words that Moshe spoke to Bnei Yisrael after he defeated Sihon and Og. So what is the significance of saying that it was after the battles and the defeat of Sihon and Og? Why does the Torah have to say that? Shekonim Zeh, because prior to this, Lo haya yocho lahachnis hadavorim belibam shal Yisrael. Moshe would not have been able that these words that he was stating at the beginning of Devorim, which are words of Musar and Tochacha, that he would not have been able to have them penetrate the hearts of the Jewish people. Whereas the battle and the defeat of Sichon and Og were the bringing down of a barrier, an obstacle, some spiritual koach that he'll talk about in a minute, that would have prevented Moshe's words from penetrating fully. Shehem hayu klipos gedolos, because Sichon and Og, they were very strong klipos, they were powerful obstacles, spiritually speaking, in the world. Sichon melech cheshbon, it says that Sichon was the king of cheshbon. Now the word cheshbon, of course, is related to machshava, cheshun, cheshin veit. And the idea of a cheshbon, you say you're going to make a cheshbon, that means you're going to make an account, you're going to mentally make an accounting in your mind about a certain situation. That's a cheshbon, related to the word machshava. So Sichon, the king of cheshbon, shoresh ha-machshavos rose. That alludes to the source of negative thought in the human mind. He's the king of it, right? He's the source of it. The neged zet filin shorosh, and corresponding to this, we have in our as part of our weaponry against this, we have the tefillin shorosh. The tefillin shorosh are placed upon the head, and as the tefillah before you place tefillin says, it's keneged ha-neshama shavamochi, the neshama which is by my mind, that all my machshavas, all of my thoughts should be directed toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that corresponds to Sichon, and Og, the Torah describes Oz as ba'ashtoros be'edrei. In ashtoros, in edrei. And that word edrei is related to the Aramaic word for zroa, which means one's arm. And that represents maisa, action. So he is maisa, hamasa. The neged zet tefillin shel yad, ad kan devaro. Corresponding to this obstacle, meaning to say, all those actions in the world that are rooted in some negative place, in evil, contrary to what Hashem wants, what we have as a weapon against that is the tefillin shel yad. So Moshe's defeat of Sichon and Og was more than a physical defeat, and this is an extremely important concept when it comes to the defeat of the nations that Moshe Rabbeinu fought and that Yehoshua fought when we came into the land of Eretz Yisrael. In addition to being a physical enemy, they were a spiritual enemy. And they were manifesting certain qualities in the world, certain powers in the world, that spiritually opposed our relationship to Hashem. And conquering them was both physically and spiritually conquering that power. So their defeat then left Bnei Yisrael more open to receive the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says this corresponds to Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad. V'chein kaseh b'tefillin. And it says, in respect to Tefillin in the Torah, L'man tihiyeh Torah Hashem v'ficha. That you place Tefillin in order that the Torah of Hashem shall be upon your mouth. So the idea is that the Torah is more upon our mouth. We are more able to verbalize it, articulate it, incorporate it through the Tefillin Shel Rosh and Shel Yad, that help our machshava and that help our maisa. The result of that is the Torah is more available to us.
Only, you think he means only when we bat it on, or just if we put it on?
He means as a result of putting it on. Certainly our koach is enhanced when they're on, but putting them on fulfills the mitzvah for that day, and then that's what we need. Even after they're off, we have that koach. L'chein achar hanochas tefillin v'hizkashus machshava u'maisa yicholin likros kriyashma kemosha kasavda v'makom acher. So therefore, after one has put tefillin on in the morning, and one has bound their thought and their actions, the thought through the tefillin shorosh and the action through tefillin shoyat, that is when we can read the kriyashma. That's the words of Torah upon our mouth, he was talking about. Being able to say the Shema is more than physically being able to say it. With the tefillin on, we can say it so it truly is upon our mouth. V'chein hoya b'cholos Yisrael k'moshe noheg b'pratus. And so it was then for all of Klal Yisrael, when Moshe defeated Sichon and Og, they experienced that as a whole kehila, as a whole nation, just like each individual experiences it, b'pratus, which means individually. V'emes kizeh remes l'tfilin, demori alma. As we know that the truth is that the tefillin that we have is also a remes to the tefillin of Hashem. The Gemara writes that Hashem puts on tefillin. Of course, Hashem is not a physical being, and not tefillin as we know it, but it represents a certain maisa that God does in the world, which is called putting on tefillin. And they're called tefillin demori alma. Kamosha b'nei Yisrael, Meshavdin liban umavatlin kol makshavos umasim ro'in ba'avur ratzon habor yisparach. This is beautiful thought he's saying here. Just as the Jewish people subjugate their heart and entirely direct all of our thoughts and deeds, and we cancel out our negative deeds for the sake of God, so we bind ourselves to Him, we mevatel ourselves to Him. Likewise, kein HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyochol mevato kol kocho sitra achra. Hashem's tefillin means that He nullifies all the negative forces in the world, the powers of sitra achra. V'nosein kol hashpos rak b'nei Yisrael, and directs all of his emanations to the Jewish people. The Zem Luchamo Sichon Ba'og Kanal, this is the battle of Sichon and Og, of dismantling those negative forces in the world. So Hashem's relationship to Hashem is bound to us. Now the Gaon of Vilna writes in his Chidushim on the Gemara that the tefillin of Hashem are this concept, it's a very similar thing, that our tefillin bind us to Hashem. Hashem's tefillin, so to speak, binds Him to us. And that's an act of will that He does. He wants to be bound to us and to show that. That's tefillin demori alma. And what Sfas adds to that is, what are the forces that God obliterates, you know, in connecting Himself to B'nai Yisrael? They're represented by Sichon and Og, and that has to do with the source of negative or destructive thought in the world, and the source of negative or destructive behavior in the world.
Which was which?
Sichon was Melech Cheshbon, so he was thought. And Og was Edrei, which represents Zeroah, which is Maisa. I saw in another mimer once that someone wanted to say that Sichon was negative speech, because he's called Melech Emori. Mm-hmm. And the word Emori, Aleph Mem Resh, lay more to speak. It's a different angle on it.
Siach.
And Siach also, yeah. But the stressor was on the Lord. Gabe, was that you? Was that some? Same Shimon, yeah.
The Zeroah is just the
Reishayim? Edrei is really Dalet Reishayim. Because Zeroah in Aramaic is Deroah.
Oh, yeah.
The Dalet and the Zion interchange, right? So this is a nice opportunity to take a look at this Tila, because it's hinted to so often, and it's a beautiful tefillah in the morning before you put on tefillin. It's not an obligatory tefillah, it's not mechuyev upon a person, but it's very beautiful, and it starts off with the Shem Yuchud, and then it says, I'm intending now by putting on my tefillin to fulfill Hashem's mitzvah, who said, U'kishartim lo'otha yedecha v'ayudot tefos ben yedecha, with the four parshio shema v'hayim shemoa, etc., that contained the Yichud of Hashem, the oneness of God, that mentioned His miracles that He did for us when He took us out of Mitzrayim, and that he has, and this relates very much to what Svasana said, Va'asher lo ha'koach v'ha'memshola ba'ayonim v'tachtonim la'asos bohem kirsona. God has the power and the authority in the higher worlds and the lower worlds to do in them as he wills. So that's similar to this concept of he's totally directing himself to B'nai Yisrael, you know, like penetrating through all the worlds to direct his hashgacha to us. And he commanded us to put them on al hayad, on our arm, lezichron zeroan detuya, right, to bring to mind his zeroan detuya, Hashem's outstretched arm, that's the word zeroa there again, when he took us out of Mitzrayim, and also there on our arm, it's right next to our heart, to subjugate our tavos and our thoughts to Hashem, because thoughts are also present in the heart, and also on the moach, that the neshama within my mind, with all my senses and powers, will be meshubad, will be subjugated to avodas Hashem. There's an allusion to these concepts, that's what he's saying here.
What is it in the beginning of the mimer you were saying about Moshe had to defeat Sichon and Og before he could, what was the pasuk, before he could
the very beginning,
go to the next step?
Right, where the Torah says, Eila HaDvorim, right, these are the words. Let me just read it out of the Torah Shabbat. Eila HaDvorim Asher Diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke to B'nai Yisrael, and then it identifies the place. According to some, that means it's identifying certain events, describes it a little more. He's about to give them tochacha.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Pasuk Dalet, it says, Acharei HaKoso, after Moshe defeated Sichon Melech HaAmori, Asher Yoshev B'Cheshvon, and Og Melech HaBashan, Asher Yoshev B'Ashtaros B'Edrei. This is, you know, what is that doing there? It's not just saying, by the way, this happened after the battle.
Right.
There has to be some significance to that puzzle.
Does anyone say about Ashtaros?
I didn't see a comment on it, no. I mean, there's Rashi on it, you know, that he says Ashtaros is a lotion of tsukin vikoshi, of difficulties, right? You know, a certain amount of pain, anguish. Any other questions? As tired, quiet, hot, 9 days, what's the deal?
Well, just really clearly explained.
What's that? Okay, good.
We understand everything.
Right. You want to ask us any questions?
Let me get my book. A lot of things I want to ask you guys.
After class. Not on tape, right?
Right. Okay, let's take a look at another one.
This is represents a year.
This one's 94.
This one's 94.
So, now that you mentioned it.
Yes, Ken.
When you put on your tefillin, so you should have it in mind that they should, in a sense, serve as a vehicle for counteracting these negative forces.
Yes, counteracting them on that side,
right,
and on the positive side, actively binding our machshava, right, and our thought. Right.
Well, that part.
That's more direct, right? Yeah. So what you said is saying that's less evident, right? It's less evident that at the same time they're destroying certain negative forces.
Yeah, I don't know if I was aware.
There's an idea that putting on tefillin is like you'd see it since 9, or there's some kind of connection between tefillin or
something.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's like the way that we're trapped in our thoughts.
And that takes us out.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at page above, which is on the right column, 3 lines down. Ukamochein says, in turn, Bishvil Bitzel Torah Nisgarashnu Me'artzeinu. We were driven out of the land of Israel on account of Bethel Torah, that we forsook the Torah, did not involve ourselves in Torah. Kid'isa b'midrash Eicha, as it says in the Midrash of Eicha, what that we read on Tisha B'Av, Bayomer Hashem al ozvam es Torasi, that Hashem said, on account of the fact that you have left, you have forsaken my Torah. Vayin sham ol b'pasuk ka'achol kash lashon eish. Look also there at the pasuk as the straw is devoured, as the straw is consumed. Lashon eish. So the something like the tongue is a fire. Something of that nature. I'm sorry, I don't know the pasuk. The chi kash ochel eish. Can it be that straw consumes fire? Elo eish beis Yaakov, kash beis Esa. Says, but rather, Rashi brings this in the Torah, fire is considered to be the house of Yaakov, and straw is considered to be the house of Esa. Bekosha matiris b'zesa. What kind of answer is this? Right, the question was, is it possible for a straw to consume fire? And they say, well, fire is Yaakov and straw is Esa. Doesn't seem to be an answer whatsoever. Ach be'emes kesiv. It is written, V'hoya beis Yaakov eish, u'beis Yosef lehava, acharkach beis Esav makash. Says it writes that the house of Yaakov is fire, the house of Yosef is a flame, lehava, and then the house of Esav is straw. All right, so one more time the progression. Beis Yaakov is eish. Beis Yosef is lehava, which means a fire, flame. And Beis Esav is kash. In Cain, if this is true, Tzrichin mikodem b'nei Yisrael lehitokein lehiyos lohem eish. Says the idea is this. We have to make ourselves a fire. We have to become eish. Lehislahavus. To be on fire, to be ignited in Avodas Hashem. Bekoach Yaakov v'Yosef, through the power of our ancestors Yaakov and Yosef. U'kefizeh, and in proportion to this, to the extent that we turn ourselves into a holy fire, naseh beis Esav l'kash. Then the house of Esav becomes strong. So that's the concept, that is it possible, going back to that question, that fire, that straw can eat fire? And the idea is this, that there's a certain stage that we're not really a fire. If we don't ignite ourselves, we don't illuminate our lives, then we can be harmed by straw, Esav. But once we become Esh, then Esav becomes like straw in the face of that fire. But it's not a given that we're always going to be able to defeat him. Of course, ultimately we can. But in any specific battle, it depends on what we do with ourselves. Shebechol klipo yesh besocha nekuda genuza, kamo hachita bekash. Every klipa, every power of Ra in the world, has something good concealed inside of it. Just like a kernel of wheat is concealed in the stalk. Once you remove the wheat, the grain, from the waste, from the stalk, as kamot sasher tidfenu ruach, like we learned that from the first Tehillim, then it becomes like chaff which can be blown away by the wind. It's while the koach of Tov is still somehow embedded somewhere deep in that klipa, it's a hard thing to deal with. But when we pull out the Tov from Ra, that means according to the amount of good that we do in the world, we're extracting Tov from the world, and then Ra becomes vulnerable, like straw. However, God forbid, when the Jewish people forsake the Torah, Kesiv Ilmole Hachareva Megozel Esav V'Nismale Mechorbana Shal Yerushalayim. Says, were it not for, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with this quote, but the concept is that the Esav, becomes filled through the destruction of Yerushalayim. That if, when Yerushalayim is destroyed, when the Jewish people fall, Esav becomes strong, which is a famous axiom. And if we're not doing what we need to be doing, all the co-op that we have, if basically we start to go down, and Esav gets that co-op. Va'oz ne'amar ke'achol kash. And in that case, the straw can eat the fire. Then Esav can have authority, can have some kind of power over us. Kamo shekasuv vatochalna haporos roz vativlana hashibolos hadakos. As it said in Paro's dreams, that the skinny cows ate the fat cows and the blighted stalks ate the consumed the healthy stalks. That's the idea, that they get their co-op from the healthy ones when they don't do what they need to do. So his understanding then of Beis Yaakov and Beis Yosef as Esh and Lahava is our own initiative to light the fire of Torah. And then Esav falls before us. And if we somehow do not live up to that, we give Esav strength. All right, you had a question?
I was just thinking maybe if you put a lot of straw on a weak fire, it will smother it. I was just trying to figure out how that would work.
Right, they're the emotional
on a physical plane.
Right. Whereas if you had a raging fire and you put some straw in there,
fire would no problem.
Consume it and even become stronger from the new fuel.
But the act of actively trying to light that fire is a preparation. You don't yet have the fire because the fire is Torah. Right, so you don't yet have it, you don't just instantly have it. You have to do the act of working towards that, which is a preparation. So here it just seems that there's something that...
We have all the ingredients. We have our neshama, the Torah was given to us. We got it. Now we have to really build the fire. We have it. We have the spark within us by birth. But the fire is something that we have to build and develop.
So maybe that's what Yosef is, because he's embodied action, you know, putting the thought into action.
Thought into action, constantly overcoming circumstances, having to really generate his own Kedusha in the shrine, all alone. He had to create his own fire. Yeah. It's a nice idea, though.
But is this a concept of learning? And if we did all the mitzvahs that could be done, except for learning, this would still be an
we'd still
issue.
Be lacking, right? Because learning Torah is a mitzvah in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So we'd still be lacking. That's interesting, you know, he's calling it fire. He's calling Gitzel Torah the lack of fire. And of course, what does he mean by that? Does he mean only not the study of Torah? It seems to be implying more that he's calling it Esh, which I believe means more the intensity of Torah, mm-hmm. and the power of Torah. Being involved in a way that has content, that has feeling. Gives loud. Mm-hmm. Well, we got time for one more. Let's take one more.
Let's take an easy little one.
Yeah, the little ones are always the hard ones. We know that.
So there's been a Shabbos, the year that there was Shabbos.
Yeah. Anything related to the 9 days on Tisha B'Av?
Well, we had that little that Eicha one, right? That was related to the 9 days.
Isn't the word Eicha in the Devarim?
In this parsha, right?
Yeah.
Which always precedes Tisha B'Av.
Is that word used at all anywhere else in the Torah?
Yeah, there's one more Eicha.
Where is it?
That's Ayeka, which is spelled the same way. It's spelled the same way.
It's probably the same content.
There's Eicha Esa Levadi, right? I think that's the beginning of Sheni and Devorim. I thought there was one more. I may be mistaken. Yeah, Eicha Esa Levadi. Moshe says, how can I carry this burden by myself? Eicha. There is one more Eicha. I can't bring it out. it's...
But your homework is not.
CD.
My homework is not.
Type it in.
Search for it.
Yeah, if you had that program, you're right. That could be 2 seconds search you'd have.
All the echos in Torah.
Spell backwards.
All the echos in Rashi.
It says John is doing it.
The shul needs a laptop in the program right here so we can have this fast on this shit.
Tell Beth to just put it.
Hmm?
Tell Beth to just put it.
I'll tell your company is going to donate it.
Okay. Tell them.
You moving today?
Sunday.
Let's take a look on page 14, or this is one on Eichon. Page 14, right column in the middle. The Eicha, in the Megillah of Eicha, it says, Zachar Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim remembers Kol Machamadeha, all of its treasures, all of its precious things from the days of old when the Beis HaMikdash stood. The Aleph is Eichmedi Eicha, Hayumi Mekedim, all those that were present in the days of old. Kikol Hamatano Shenosan Lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the gifts that God gave to us, Heim Chakukim B'Nefashos B'nei Yisrael, they are embedded in the souls of the Jewish people. Whatever God gave us is there permanently. It's within our neshama. Vein Shikcha Sholei Bohen, and there is no forgetfulness in that place in our neshama. Everything God gave us is there. Shehem b'chinas mimei kedem l'mala. This is the concept of the days of old, which really means the days above. L'mala min hateva, above and beyond the realm of nature where memory and forgetfulness function. B'hazman, b'ein shuk hasholeit bohem. And in this dimension, which is called mimei kedem, these earlier days, which means a deeper part of the human being and a deeper part of the world. There's no forgetfulness. V'lachein ein nishkachem la'olam afilu bimei hagolus. Therefore, they are never forgotten in a certain part of us, even in the midst and the depth of exile. That's what he says Yerushalayim remembers. It doesn't just mean, oh yeah, I once had it. It means it's there. And Yerushalayim brings it to mind. Rak she'enu yachal lihios b'hizkalus b'shlemus. But it's not fully revealed because it's buried inside of us. L'chein tzachaku al mishpatecha. Therefore they laughed, they mocked Yerushalayim over its destruction, which is from Eicha as well. Dorshu chazal al kiyum ha-shabbosos u-mo'adim b'golos. What does it mean they mocked us, mishpatecha? Mm-hmm. The drasha is they mocked us that we observe Shabbos and Yom Tov even in exile. The nation says, you know, what are you doing? You're not in your land anymore. Doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. So they mocked us. What do you keep Shabbos and Yom Tov for in the midst of exile? What's the purpose? Shebizman HaMikdash Hoya Nikar Ha'oras Panim Shabbanei Yisrael. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, the radiance of the countenance of the Jews was evident. It was open and clear. V'nofa pachad al kol ha'amim, and the nations were in dread of us. Ki ritziv, etc. As it says, when we went up to Yerushalayim to celebrate Yom Tov, the nations were afraid to attack. They will not desire and covet our land. They were afraid because they understood our radiance, our relationship to God. But now in Golus, they laughed because seemingly, superficially, all that radiance was gone. And therefore they lost their fear of us as well. However, he says, in the inner dimension of the soul of the Jewish people, even now, all that preciousness is present, they're brought to mind, therefore, our groaning, our crying is great, it is expansive, because it's all there, but it's hidden, until God will see and comfort us in the Arabian Amen. Beautiful, beautiful language. Meshukah.